to take away and to disadvantage any other member in any other fashion. So, you are not angels because you infringe on the rights of all the other members in this house to proceed. And that is why I'm saying I'm not taking any point of order, except yours, Honorable Pando. What is your point of order?
Speaker, I think you have ruled correctly, Speaker, because there is indeed spurious use of the rules and very serious infringement of the rules. And I think, Speaker, you should act as you have indicated. Should there be any further interruption, members must be asked to leave the House.
Honorable Mkhalipi, I'm not taking any further points of order. The only point of order I will take is when you continue to interrupt the business of today. Honorable Malema, do you intend to stop us from proceeding with the business?
No, not at all.
So why are you up?
No. Violence was threatened. It was brought to...
I have just called the whole house to order.
Not the whole house. It was a specific individual. By the rules of this house, you ought to call the individual concerned and ask that person to withdraw. So
Honourable
that we have peace in this house. Because we shouldn't threaten violence. No one
Honourable
has got monopoly Malema. Of violence.
Honorable Malema, take your seat. Honorable members, I did not see the member who threatened the IS. No, I heard a member saying any member should go out. I did not see. I'm not calling any member by name. I have made a ruling.
Just
the
ask him if he's
no member. Honorable, can you take your seat or leave this house?
Honorable Speaker, we
Honorable
can help
member,
you.
Honorable take your seat or please.
We can help you to show you who...
No, I don't want your help. You take your seat now or leave in peace.
No, I'm saying because you
say
you
take your seat now or leave.
I'm helping.
You take this seat, Honorable Mukwena, or leave. Honorable Mukhalipi, if you stand, you are prepared to walk out. Yes. Yes. If you stand and continue with your spurious points of order and eat away the time for this country to get the state of the nation, please walk out or we shall assist you. You are volunteering to go the first? Honorable the President, please proceed.
Speaker, with all due respect, Prince Buthelezi has had his hand up respecting this house and people like just, he's had his hand up. But you've got people jumping like popcorn and being recognized.
Honorable Buthelezi. Honorable Buthelezi.
Honorable Speaker, I think I have a right to ask a question to you as a presiding officer. I would like to know our judiciary is here. Unfortunately, we can't consult them. If you are your own common sense, is it right that a minority can impose their will on the majority? Quite clearly. William shouted at you when he's speaking.
You are protected, Honorable Buthelezi.
Quite on sheer common sense. The people that have raised the matter and delayed us are a minority. The majority of us want to listen to the president. And I've been lifting my hand and people just jump up and speak, but because I respect you and I will not break the rules and do what as they do, you don't give me a chance just to say a simple thing. I want enlightenment for you as the presiding officer. Is it right that the minority should impose their will on the majority of us?
Thank you, sir. Honorable Telezi, members of the House have the right to freedom of speech, but that freedom is not unlimited. It is subject to
the rules of the house, which is subject to the provisions of the powers and privileges. So no member can impose their will on the rest of the members.
Oh, Speaker?
I did not recognize you. Please take your seat. Take your seat. Honorable members, I'm not going to recognize any hand. And any hand that...
Sorry, Speaker.
I will not recognize any hand.
Banana, just Speaker.
I will not recognize that.
Banana, Speaker.
No.
Do want to listen to the president's State of the Nation address, but will not allow to listen. Won't listen to the president as long as Honorable Kodan is still part of the executive. The whole nation of South Africa is in tatters because of him. We do want to listen to the president, but because of Mr. Kodan, we are refusing.
Please leave the house. Please leave the house. Because you are deliberately making sure that this house does not continue to
speak. No, Speaker. You are not applying the rules.
No.
We should never...
No, Honorable Malema, you will not this night abuse the rules.
I'm calling you to order.
No. You will not abuse the rights of the majority of the members
call her,
of this
call her to order. That's the first step you do.
I did call
you,
all of you
no,
to
you,
order.
You called a name. You called a name once.
Honorable Malema, take your seat.
Call her by the name.
Honorable Malema, I called her by name. Honorable Malema, take your seat.
Tell her to sit down first, Speaker. I can't start by saying you must go out.
Honorable Malema, take your seat.
It's against the rules.
Honorable Malema, take your seat. No, Honorable Members, you're not going to hold us to ransom.
Can I just carry the Speaker so that...
Take your seat.
Are you suspending the rules tonight?
Take your seat.
Are you suspending the rules tonight?
Honorable Member, take your seat.
Which rule are you using which says you can no longer recognize hands? Which rule? Point us to the rule. It doesn't matter how much irritating are we in this house, but you ought to point the rule and say, according to this rule, I will no longer recognize hands. There is no such a rule, and
it
we are not going
not
to be treated as
how
a group
here. You are right. It does not matter how much the two of us are irritated. That still does not give a minority or an individual member of this house more rights than the other members.
Point of order. Point of order.
No, members, you are not going to continue to do this.
Point of order.
A minority is judged by a vote. So let's
Honorable
vote
Mukwena,
so that we are sure that it's
please
a minority.
Take your seat.
Point of order. Point of order. Credence.
Honorable Mazoni.
Speaker, I rise on point 14S of the joint rules as well as 14K. 14S deals with the irrelevance and repetition. We have now heard the same point of order called over four times. Chair, we've also been dealing with these points of order that have been repeated for exactly 50 minutes. In terms of 14K, it describes exactly what grave disorder is. And given the fact that the party calling points of order and disrupting the House at present made it very clear that they had every intention of disrupting the proceedings for tonight, 14K comes into play because it now refers to grave disorder in the House. Chair, I would ask you to once again protect the rights of the majority of the members in this House and let us have our constitutional rights to hear the stone addressed by the President.
On a point of order, Chairperson of the NCOP.
Honorable members.
Just on a point of order.
Honorable members.
I'm rising in terms of...
Please sit down. Please sit down.
But why to call
because
that
because
point
I've not
of
recognized
order.
You. Please sit down. Sit down.
And please recognize
sit,
me after that, please.
Sit down. Thank you very much. Honorable members, it is very clear that continuously taking point of orders is not getting this house anywhere. Clearly, the freedom of speech of members is being abused. And we would really like to make a plea one more time that we should allow the president to proceed with his State of the Nation address. Honorable President, please proceed.
Chairperson of the NCOP, on a point of order.
Honorable member, I've not recognized you, so please sit down. Please proceed, Honorable President.
Speaker, I have already said. Can you please recognize us? I want us to work according to rules here. We are in parliament.
Honorable Malima.
An activist parliament.
Honorable Malima, we've not been recognized. Please sit down.
Can you recognize
me? Please sit down. Please sit.
Recognition?
Please sit. Honorable President.
Braambi.
No, Braambi, you are making a mistake. You are making a mistake. Recognize me. I want to speak according to the rules. Honorable Speaker, you ought to say to us, according to which rule are you no longer going to take hands on point of order, number one. Number two, there is no one who's going to be treated as a party yet. There's no party yet. They are members of parliament who shall be recognized as individual members of parliament. So there is no party. So please, we and there is no majority and there is no minority.
Honorable Malima,
and if you are going to go with that narrative of minority,
Honorable,
minority will know us.
Honorable Malima,
Blender, can you please sit down? Blender?
Please sit down. Honorable President, we are now proceeding, honorable members, with the State of the Nation address.
Speaker of the National Assembly, Ms. Thandi Modise, the Chairperson of the National Council of Provinces, Mr. Amos Masondo,
Honorable members, we are going to suspend the proceedings of this house. The bells will be rung for you to reconvene. This house is suspended.
know, in that, in the...
Okay.
Yes, your person. Can I play from here?
Okay. Play from when the presiding officers came back to the house.
Oh, okay, Jefferson.
Thank you very much, honorable members. We will now go on with our proceedings. We're going to do two things. We'll ask a member from each of the political parties to make a very brief comment. We will then, secondly, read to you Section 14G with regard to members being ordered to withdraw. And then finally, as a third step, we'll request the president to deliver a State of the Nation address. So without any waste of time,
I'm here.
We'll start with the first person.
Thank you very much, Chairperson of the NCOP, the Speaker of our Parliament, Mr. President. Our problem is that there is a Jamnandas in this house,
which
caused a huge problem in this country.
Speaker, point
and
of
you
order.
Comrades yes. Want us to
point of order
as if things
point,
are
just,
normal.
Just briefly the point of order, honorable member.
Thank you, Speaker. The rules determine the agenda of the house. We have the order of proceedings. That was published to say we are going to listen to the president and there's no other item on the agenda. Please allow the president to address the nation.
Thank you, Chair.
Please proceed.
Yes. Now, our biggest problem, you can go out. Our biggest problem here, Mr.
And
President.
And please be brief.
Very brief, very brief. Our biggest problem here is that the President is not listening
on
to
a point
the call
of, order.
Of South Africa.
On a point of order, please.
To fire Praveen, who has caused us load shedding.
On a point of order, honorable chair.
Like executive.
On a point of order.
State-owned companies,
please.
Who wants to sell our companies
on a point of order,
to
honorable
white chair. Monopoly capital.
Point of order, sir.
But equally, you have also invited the clerk who's got blood on his hands. For those reasons, Mr. President, we will not be sitting in this house. And if President is not going to fire Praveen, This will be our relationship with the president when he appears in this parliament for the next 5 years. So you can remain with your declared and your Praveen. We can't sit with this sellout. Remain with them, Praveen and Magara.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. We've been abused for a long time.
Order, ma'am.
Can the presiding officer assist us to
order
people?
Honorable members,
please leave the house. Please leave the house.
And don't come back. Leave and don't come back.
Please leave the house.
We're leaving you with your clerk and Praveen.
You don't have to tell us to leave the house.
Honorable members, leave the house.
We are leaving all our homes.
Order, members. Order. Sergeant Adams, help that man, those two members out. Honorable members, please close the door. Honorable members, we do know that you get impatient with us. No, we will not replace one disorderly behavior with another. We had
Jefferson.
I guess we should stop here. I'm not sure whether if members want us to continue. Okay, I think let's stop here because that is the what follows is the message from the other parties. Okay. Are we still around, honorable members? Are we still here?
We're still here.
Yeah, we are here and abused.
We're just irritated, Chairperson. It reminds us of that difficult day.
Okay. Yeah, so I think maybe let's stop here because I think what follows is what other parties had to say about that incident. And I think the last time when we were deliberating on the matters, I think we took a view on there was the first time there was the incident of a former Deputy President de Klerk, which I think members indicated that it looks like there is no issue there. And then there was the second one where there was a request for the Minister of Public Enterprises to leave, and there were points of orders raised and so forth. And I think there was a ruling by the Speaker at some point that the Honorable Sonke must leave the House. And the Honorable Sonke refused to leave the House, and that was not followed up. And when members of the EFF were leaving the House, there was a throwing of some bottles there at the back. So I couldn't pick up that incident quite clearly, so maybe we may also have a look at that. But generally, let's deliberate, honorable members, on the that incident, on the incident of SONA in general. Because we expected, after we have identified the members, that these members, in our view, are supposed to be charged because they've caused a disruption or they've behaved in such a manner that their behavior causes a disruption in the House, and therefore they're in contempt of Parliament. So we must do that through the deliberations. And now, Advocate Mayosi has been on the platform, has been watching the video with us, and we have been given the same video before, have a look at it. And we are hoping that she will also advise us as we engage on the deliberation. But I think members will remember that in the past we were not very sure whether we should proceed. So maybe I should start with the Advocate Mayosi, maybe to express a view and maybe to give some comments and some advice as we continue the deliberations, just to advise the members. What is your view after having watched that video? Is there any rule that was broken? Was any member in violation of the rules of the National Assembly of the Joint Parliament? And what is generally her recommendation of power? So I would like to start first with the Honorable, with the Advocate Mayosi. Advocate, are you still on the platform?
I am, Chair. I am wondering if, yes, I am on the platform, Chair. Thank you for that, and thank you for the honourable members for giving me this opportunity to be present here today. From my observation of, perhaps I should begin with just stating my observation of the footage. It seems to me that how matters began, as you quite correctly stated up front, is that in the first part of the SONA proceedings, the objections that were raised related to the presence of former President F.W. de Klerk, of him having been invited to join the session. There were various objections that were raised by members of Parliament in relation to that same issue. If I'm correct, just from my counting of the instances in which that particular objection was repeated, it was raised for the first time, and that member of Parliament was allowed to speak. The Speaker then ruled on that submission. and she ruled that she would not sustain that submission for the reasons that she gave. And then what followed thereafter was the repetition of the same submission under the guise of a point of order for about 6 times. At each time, on each occasion, what the speaker did was to pronounce on what the member had said and to require the member to sit down. It appears that this was the solution of choice, if I may put it that way, by the presiding officers on that day. And it would seem to me from a reading of the joint rules of Parliament, which I think it is agreed by all the parties with the rules that apply to this particular sitting, that rule relates to irrelevance or repetition. And it says that the presiding officer, after calling to attention the conduct of a member who persists in irrelevance or repetition of arguments, may direct the member to discontinue his speech. So what she then did in relation to this particular complaint is that each of the 6 times that people spoke after the complaint was initially raised, she ordered them to sit down. So it would appear that what she was in fact invoking was 14F. And on each occasion, the person then sat down. The member then sat down as ordered by her to do so. In relation to this particular complaint, that is the presence or the invitation of the former president, Mr. F.W. de Klerk, the presiding officers didn't invoke, it appears to me, 14G or any of the other rules that they had at their disposal. That particular part of the proceedings then ended because various other members spoke from various political parties just objecting about how things were proceeding. And then the next group or heading of complaints, as the chair pointed out, really was the second lot of complaints. In the main, it was a complaint relating to the Minister of Public Enterprises, Mr. Pravin Gordhan, his presence there, and the various submissions that were made in relation to him. But that was not the only issue that was raised in this, if I may call it, second part of the session. There was the issue relating to the presence of the Minister of Public Enterprises. There was and then various people then repeated that. There was a proposal that was made by a member that because there had not been a chief whip meeting the previous day, the sessions should be suspended so that the chief whip should caucus. And then various people then supported that and repeated that. The speaker ruled in relation to Mr. Pravin Gordhan. The speaker ruled in relation to the chief whip issue, and then there were repetitions. The third complaint, it seems to me, was a complaint that one of the members had threatened violence. This was then also repeated by other members. The speaker ruled in relation to that issue. There was also a fourth complaint, which was around which rule was the speaker invoking to say that she will not take any further points of order. And then there were repetitions in support of that. She ruled, again, similarly, invoking 14F, it would seem to me, each time after a ruling, ordering the member to sit down, And then the fifth issue that was raised during this second part of the session was, again, a complaint that you cannot order us to leave. You must call us by our names. You must call us individually. And on that point, it would seem to me that there are two instances from the recording, really, that the speaker came close to invoking 14G. Well, in the first instance, I think the Honourable Member, Mr. or Miss, I don't know the gender of the member, Mkhalipi, stood up and the speaker said very pointedly to that member, if you stand up, you must know that you're preparing to leave, because she had already said that the people who do not want to be here must leave, but I don't think that went any further. The member didn't pursue that. And then specifically, as mentioned by the chair, after Ms. Sondi spoke, the speaker specifically pointedly said to her, leave the room, which would seem to me to be the clearest invocation of the officers had under 14G, which was the power to order a member to withdraw. Ms. Sondi then of course sat down. The proceedings then continued. They were suspended, they returned, Parliament then stated that they would leave if Mr. Pravin Gordhan remained in the room. They left, and there was an apparent throwing of a bottle, which I also observed, but the person from where I was watching anyway, from whom that projectile came seemed to me to be obscured by in the footage that I saw. I sort of saw the bottle come from somewhere, but not the thrower of the bottle. So just on that one, I'm not sure that that's definitely objectionable conduct, but I'm not sure how we can deal with that without knowing the individual that it came from. So in relation to the second group of complaints, life issues, again, what seemed to be happening was that a member would raise an issue, it would be repeated several times, it would be ruled upon but repeated, and each time, once again, the presiding officer's chosen way of dealing with the proceedings seemed to me to reside in 14F, which was to say, that's not sustained, that's not a point of order, sit down. And each time that members were ordered to sit down, members, in fact, sat down. That another member may have risen to repeat the same issue is quite a different issue, but that member, too, was told to sit down, and that member sat down. So it would appear from the joint rules that the presiding officers elected to invoke 14F, where these repetitions and what they viewed to be irrelevant issues were being raised, and to order the speakers, the members involved, to discontinue with their speech. And that rule was observed. The speakers or the persons who were speaking sat down. The chairpersons, the presiding officers, of course, as we know, also could have invoked 14G, which was if they were of the view that their authority was being disregarded, that any provisions in the rules were not being obeyed, if they were of the view that a member was engaging in grossly disorderly conduct, the presiding officers could have ordered each specific member who in their view performed any one of these transgressions set out in 14G to leave the room. We know that that occurred really only once, specifically, quite pointedly, and that occurred in relation to Ms. Sondi. So as a whole, just on having viewed the footage, my initial views are the following. The joint rules set out what the rules of debate in a joint sitting are. And unfortunately, and this is, I think, is a common complaint across all political parties, just judging from the footage that we saw, that unfortunately the joint rules are not as explicit as the National Assembly rules. The joint rules are somewhat cryptic. And the joint rules, if I could just talk about the National Assembly rules, National Assembly rules are quite specific, that when a presiding officer has made a ruling on a point of order, that ruling is final. If somebody, if a member is not permitted to raise a point of order, in relation to which the presiding officer has already ruled, and it's quite specific in dealing with precisely the kind of conduct that was playing out during the SONA. But unfortunately, those are not the rules that apply here. The rules that the tools that were given to the speaker, to the presiding officers, really are in 14F, which they invoked throughout the entire time, and 14G, which in their wisdom they did not invoke, in the sense that they, except in the case of Ms. Sondi. And the remainder, of course, they ultimately they invoked 14K, which was to suspend the sitting for a period and then to return. And then when they returned, when the sitting reconvened, the chairperson of the NCOP then pointed members out to 14G. It would appear then that they were warning the room, in a sense, that if the conduct that has been happening in the first session continues, we're pointing out that we have powers to order you specifically to leave in relation to 14G. But it didn't get to that point because the members who objected to the presence of Mr. Gordhan then left out of their own volition. So my view, and of course, this is the decisions are ultimately for the committee to make, is that in order, I think for charges, if I may use the term, for want of a better term, of contempt of Parliament to have a somewhat reasonable prospect of succeeding, it's important that the presiding officers be able to demonstrate that they used all the tools at their disposal during the particular session, the tools that are given to them in relation to the applicable rules, and that those tools didn't work, and that the members involved deliberately flouted those tools and were therefore contemptuous of Parliament. I'm not convinced that this is such a case. I'm not convinced that the presiding officers used all the tools at their disposal. First of all, the rules are not helpful. That we must just say upfront. If the rules are more explicit in the same manner as the NA rules are, this difficulty would not be there. But the rules are not explicit. The 14G rules empowered the presiding officers to say, you are now being disruptive. I'm ordering you to leave. You are now being contemptuous. In my opinion, you're being contemptuous. You are raising issues that have been repeatedly raised. I'm ordering you to leave. You are now contravening this specific rule. I'm ordering you to leave. It didn't play out in that manner. The strategy that was adopted by the presiding officers was a somewhat more lenient or more patient one, which is to say, you are repeating something I've already ruled on, you will now sit down. At which point the member then obeyed and sat down. So I'm not convinced, if I may just summarize, that this is a very clear-cut case of contempt of Parliament, and that the prospects of charges of contempt of Parliament would succeed. Because, except, of course, and that's again a decision for the committee to take, where in the case of the specific member who was ordered to leave and didn't leave, and again, the throwing of the bottle has that difficulty because I don't know if that person is identifiable, but that's a definite problem, of course. But I'm not convinced that all the powers that, all the tools that were available to the presiding officers were invoked for the sitting in order to sustain a conclusion that the members involved were contentious. The members in an ordinary viewing of the session, of course, I think it can be said, just from a commonsensical watching of the session, it was a difficult session, it was a problematic session, and it was a session in which things did not go according to order. But the tools, the presiding officers have certain tools in order to deal with that, in order to bring the session to a place where it runs according to what is anticipated for the session to run. And those tools were not invoked. And in any such hearing or resultant proceeding, the presiding officers would need to explain why it is that they opted for 14F and not 14G, when it appeared from an ordinary commonsensical viewing of the session that the situation was serious enough to have invoked 14G and could have been brought to a semblance of order had 14G been invoked up front. So Chair, if I may just conclude my preliminary views now, is a pursuit of contempt charges, the prospect of it succeeding might be less than reasonable. I think in lawyers' terms, that's the highest or lowest bar we can describe things. We can never say conclusively something is going to fail or succeed. But I hope what I'm communicating is understood.
Okay, thank you very much, Advocate Mayosi. Of course, I think the purpose for which you have been requested to come and assist the committee is to also do exactly what you have done after having viewed the video recordings. And as you know, it's up to the committee to decide based on that advice whether we proceed with praising the charges of contempt of parliament or don't. So that is entirely up to the committee. But I think thank you very much for your views. That is something that I must say that the committee has been concerned from day one about whether are we going to succeed or are we not going to succeed, because there was a sort of a bit more technical when you look at it from the beginning. But I think it will be up to the members to decide whether we proceed or not proceed, because we also watched the same video when the presiding officer says to a member, sit down, and the member sits down, and the member rises on a point of order, and then the presiding officer will say, you are not recognized, sit down, and ultimately the member will sit down. Whether the member sits down immediately when he is instructed to, but that is another point I think that we can look at. But ultimately, there was that issue. And and most parties were not happy with what has happened. And I think hence we've got this referral to this committee. But I am going to allow for members. Thank you very much, Advocate Mayosi. Let's take the members. Get what members are saying, and then we will summarize in terms of the way forward.
Okay.
Of Honorable Peters, members, please, let's just raise your hand on the platform. If you want to raise your hand, just go to participants. It will show a list of participants. You go at the bottom there. There is invite, there is mute, there is raise hand, so you press raise hand. Okay. I've got the, who's iPhone? Oh, okay.
I'll try to
just
correct
rename your gadget there. Okay, so we've got the Honorable Peters,
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to Advocate Mayosi for the presentation that she has made. Chairperson, mine is just a point of clarity. It's difficult to watch the video and you don't have control to go back and forth on your own. Because now we've got to really recollect what happened. I just want to find out from the advocate. I saw that with regards to Honorable Sondi, what is her surname, by the way? Honorable Sondi, she was called out by the speaker to leave, and then she sat down. Immediately, Honorable Malema called the speaker to order and addressed the speaker with regards to the issue of Honorable Sondi. And thereafter, the speaker did not go ahead with the decision of Honorable Sondi's ejection from the House, and it was not followed up. So I was just wanted to find out from Honorable Mayosi in this instance, how would she, what does she read into that particular type of the situation? Thank you, Chair.
Yes, thank you. All right, let me just find out first, are the members who would like to raise clarity-seeking question before we get into deliberations?
Yes.
Okay. All right, let's take clarity-seeking questions, and then we'll go back to the members. Honorable Peters, are you going to are you going to deliberate, or you just want to be clarified first?
I want it to be clarified, Jefferson.
Okay.
On a situation of that nature, because I was listening to her indicating how the speaker was expected to follow through on every aspect of her inputs. Like, for example, if you have to leave the House, she would then indicate that in terms of the rule, you have transgressed, you are in contempt, you have violated and all that. But in this instance, Sondi had made her statement, and at the end, the speaker said, leave the House, and Honorable Malema then came in.
Okay. No, we got that one. Who else wants to ask the question of clarity? Honorable Hossein?
Yeah, Chair, thank you very much. I also want to raise a question of procedure at the same time.
Open your video.
Yes. I wanted to raise, Chair, also a question of procedure at the same time. And the question is this, what exactly is it that we are expected to do from this discussion? And I think that that's important for the simple reason that if you ask us to discuss the video, my concern is that in the process of doing that, some of us might end up prejudging the issue. Is it that you're asking us to consider that video and whether or not charges be brought against individual members? So it's important, I think, Chair, that we need to maybe just get your guidance on that first, so that we know what is it that we're trying to achieve. If we have a general discussion about the video, I worry that some of us may inadvertently prejudge the outcome of it, and that might be problematic. So your guidance here will be helpful, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, I will talk to that one. I will clarify that matter. Is there any other question of clarity? All right. Advocate Mayosi, I think, can you please just respond to the question of Honorable Peters? I will deal with the question raised by Honorable Hossein.
So my observation of the footage of what occurred with the Honorable Sondi incident is she got up to speak. She was initially not recognized by the speaker, but
ultimately she was recognized and she got up and she spoke and she raised once again the issue about Minister Gordhan. The speaker then said to her, please leave the house. Speaker told her, I think she had ruled, and basically said pointedly to her, please leave the house. Honorable Sonti then sat down, and from what I observed, then Honorable Malema then objected and insisted that the speaker call her by her name, and the speaker responded, I have called her by her name, and the speaker requested Honorable Malema to take his seat, which he did. And the next member then proceeded and asked, I think directly after that, have you suspended the rules and so on. And that issue moved on. That issue was left as it was. That issue of Ms. Sondi, the Honorable Sondi, having been asked to leave the room was not pursued. So logically, what really the speaker ought to have done there, she had pointedly told a member, instructed a member in terms of 14G to leave the house. The speaker then didn't follow through with that instruction in making sure that that instruction is taken to its logical conclusion. And in not doing so, and in fact allowing the proceedings to be superseded in circumstances where her instruction was not followed, there may be an argument that the speaker then absolved Honorable Sondi from having to comply with her instruction, because the speaker was fully within her powers to insist that that instruction be followed. But the issue was left as it is after Honorable Malema placed his objection. So I don't know if I'm answering Honorable Peters' question. My view of that particular instruction to leave and the lack of insistence on that instruction being obeyed would seem to me to speak to the Honorable Sondi having been absolved of the responsibility to obey that instruction. In particular, given that after the suspension of the proceedings, when the proceedings then resumed, it would seem, based on Chairperson Masondo's address to the House, that we want to bring your attention to the provisions of 14G. It was then that the presiding officers were indicating, we are going to invoke 14G and we are going to take this seriously going forward. So then it was made clear, but before that it wasn't. And I think the opportunity was lost there after Ms. Sondi was instructed to leave and she didn't. The opportunity was then lost to see that through. And it can be, there's an argument for her having been absolved.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Advocate Mayos. Let me respond to Honorable Hussein. The expectation, in fact, the requirement for us is to identify members whose conduct has resulted into a disruption of parliament, of a joint sitting of parliament, and therefore prima facie in contempt of parliament, and then take them through. The exercise of viewing the video is to identify those members and identify how then they become in contempt of parliament. The same exercise that we followed on the incident of the budget vote speech of Minister Pravin Gordhan. You remember that we viewed the video and we identified the members who were participating. And we came to a conclusion that charges must be preferred against those members. And then we proceeded. And then the charges were preferred against them. The process is ongoing. As I said, it was supposed to be next week, but we've tentatively moved it to the 24th of November. So we're expected to do exactly the same on this one. But because during our deliberations, there was this uncertainty that was there among the members, we thought that let's get some advice. Remember, we asked for an advice and the opinion came. Unfortunately, the opinion did not speak exactly to what we really wanted. Because really what we wanted is that, can we proceed with this matter? Are there prospects of succeeding in proceeding with the matter? Because we cannot just take any other matter simply because it has been referred to us. The committee has to deliberate. The committee has to come to a conclusion that indeed there is a case to answer. And then we proceed with that. I hope that answers Honorable Hossein. To an extent that we will be getting into the merits, it will be the purpose of identifying whether do we have a case. Do we have a case, or do these members of parliament have a case to answer? And if we think that they don't have a case, there's no point in proceeding. But let me get back to the list. Then is Honorable Peters. It's going to be Dr. Ndlozi. I saw Honorable Tsekeo had raised her hand. I don't know whether she's been covered. Okay, we'll come back to her. And then Honorable Hussein. And then Honorable Suela. In that order, can we get Honorable Peters? May the poor Peters, honorable member. Was that only thing, honorable Peters? Okay. Honorable Beke.
Oh, Chairperson, thanks. Thanks very much. And let me also appreciate the guidance and the input by Advocate Manuel.
Your live video or is the picture? Honorable Sir.
It's the picture, Chief. It's the picture.
Are you not able to give us your live video?
Let me try, Chair. And I'm hoping that it's not going to affect my connection.
Okay. You can then switch on and off. You can go off again if it's going to affect your... Continue.
Is it fine?
Yes, you can switch off.
Okay, Chair.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Chair. The previous meeting, I was not... part when you were deliberating on the matter, but I think I had an opportunity today to see that video chain. The question that you are raising, Chair, that do we have prospects of proceeding with the case according to what we have seen today and the other day as members did? Chair, my input is that I don't think, personally, I don't think we have prospects for us to proceed with the case. I'm raising this thing, Chair, because there were the spurious point of orders that were done by members, all members of the EFF, Chair. I think they were properly calculated or properly planned, Chair. And most of them were within the rules of the joint rules of Parliament. You can quote your rule 14A, your 14S, and your other rules, Chair. And to me, the presiding officers were not decisive in terms of dealing with the members who were contravening the roles of the joint sitting. Although I want to agree with Advocate Majus to say, you know, there was a certain point in the video where the deputy speaker raised a point of order. To me, he was questioning the speaker to say, look, these members are contravening rule 14J. Can you invoke 14J, actually? Because they're contravening the rules of parliament. But the presiding officer was not decisive in taking action. That's like on the matter of Honorable Sonki and Honorable Mukambi. But to me, I don't think we do have a case. I'm not quite sure. I'll listen to other members in terms of the discussion. But to me, I don't think we do have a case, because all the members were raising a point of orders within the rules of parliament. If you look at the video, the presiding officers had a chance to invoke your section 14F, your 14G, 14H, 14K, but they did not, both of them, they did not, have powers or strength to invoke those decisions. So, Chair, I don't think we do have a case. That's my input. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Peters, I don't know whether it's a hand that was raised earlier or it's a new one, but you can come in. Otherwise, we will go to Honorable Ndlozi.
I omitted to remove my hand, Chair. Sorry.
Okay, all right, it's fine. Honorable Ndlozi.
Yeah, thank you very kindly, Chairperson. Firstly, I'd like to apologize. As I indicated earlier, I'm on the road, so I'm afraid the video will compromise the quality of my input. So I profusely apologize in relation to that. And with your permission, Chair, I'd like to proceed. I guarantee you that it is indeed me.
All right. No, it's fine. You can proceed.
Thanks kindly. I've also had the misfortune of not having heard the entire input by our legal advice. Having said that, I think that at the tail end where I caught it, that she's correct. I may have not heard the substantial reasons she based her argument, but she said that we don't have prospects. But I think that it's important for me to say what I think those prospects are baseless, and why do I say so. Firstly, and I said this even earlier, we are discussing this from a prejudicial point of view. We are asked to look at a video and decide whether members are contravening the rules. And everybody, as a result, is looking at members of the EFF. That's wrong. The speaker ought to refer a specific member to us. She must open a charge, like when I go to the police station and say, so-and-so has assaulted me. Then an investigation ensues to find out if this particular individual has indeed broken the law in relation to assault. In this case, we are basically fishing, but the fishing is so prejudicial. We are not even trying to apologize for that approach. Members are looking at the red overalls in a sitting of 400 people plus. So the exercise is already wrong because the referral was wrong. The speaker was supposed to say, Member X has contravened this rule by doing 1, 2, 3, 4. Please subject them to a disciplinary process. Then we go look at what has been given to us as evidence and then decide indeed we can charge this member on the basis of what has been raised that this particular member has either contravened or done. This fishing exercise is not in line with natural justice. It's not. And I'm saying that it is cast in law. Many of the rulings by high courts have indicated in most of the cases that you couldn't charge members of parliament as a collective. You couldn't do that. That's wrong. And so we don't have a case. That's the first reason. It's because the referral was wrong. The second one is important to indicate that Sondi did leave the house. He may not have done so immediately, but he actually left the house. All members of the EFF left the house. But if you think, if you're thinking that there is something there, also there isn't, because in her individual right as a member of parliament, she ultimately left the proceedings. And then you're going to be splitting hairs about, did she leave immediately, didn't she? Did the speaker ask the sergeant of arms to accompany her and all those things? Those become technicalities. But did she leave the house? Yes, definitively. And then, obviously, then, I think that even the explanation done by the member who spoke before me, as well as the advocate, in answering Ms. Peters, is that the speaker, in her own pursuit, seemed to have been agreeable to the point of order that was raised by Honorable Malema in relation to her order that Honorable Sondi leaves the house. But again, we don't have Honorable Sondi that has been referred to us. We have not been told that she contravened Rule X. I think that such an approach is wrong. In terms of natural justice, it would make us prejudicial. In a way. So the process is that when the speaker refers or whoever refers matters to us must do so by naming members and what specific rules they have contravened. And I'm afraid that we don't have that. So I agree with the proposal that really, comrades, let's move on from this one. There's nothing, there's no case at all. It was a robust debate. It was one of the most historic and robust moments of a democratic parliament, as it ought to be. And we close it at that. Thanks very much, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Ndlozi. Honorable Hussein.
Yeah, Chair, there's a reason why I raised the question earlier to understand, you know, what is it that you're asking us to do, because therein lies a little bit of confusion for me, and I think that our good advocate must just give us some guidance here. For me, in my mind, the question is this. If this committee decides or has to decide on whether or not the rules of parliament have been contravened to the extent that members acted in contempt of parliament, and then the same committee then hears the matter, I'm not sure that that would be correct. And that's why I asked that question up front. Because in the process of doing that, Chair, if you had to ask me what my view is now on the conduct of a number of members in the House based on that video, I will express a view. And I'm afraid the view that I express may already prejudge the outcome if we get to that hearing stage. And so I do think that the two things need to be separated somewhat. If it is this committee that must apply its mind in an independent manner on whether or not the rules were breached, I think those two things have to be separated and can't be the same people. But may I ask through you, Chairperson, with respect that if the advocate can maybe guide us. I know you probably have done this same procedure previously, but I would like to just settle my mind on that matter. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay. Any other person?
Sorry, Chair, I forgot a second question, please, if you don't mind. May I proceed?
Right. The second question?
The second question is this to the advocate, Chair. Is it the case that that only 14G applies in this particular circumstance? So let me put a practical example. The speaker orders me to sit down and I refuse. The speaker orders me
not to raise a point of order, and I refuse. The speaker makes a ruling, and I continue against that ruling. Do those actions not contravene the rules of Parliament, and as a consequence thereof, are in contempt of Parliament? And is it that only because 14G may have not been applied entirely or to the letter of the law by the Speaker, that the previous examples that I gave you cannot be acted upon? I hope the advocate understands the question, so maybe she can just give a response to those two things. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Okay, any further inputs? Okay, let's we'll allow Advocate Mayosi to comment. I don't know, Parliamentary Legal Services, if there's anybody who wants to comment on the question of the referral to the committee, and then I will do the summary of the discussion. Advocate Mayosi, do you want to comment on the questions?
Thank you, Chair. As per your guidance, I will leave the issue of the referral then to Parliamentary Legal Services. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think maybe let's leave it to Parliament.
Yes. So in relation to the second question, this was a joint sitting of the Houses, and so the joint rules of Parliament then applied. And there, it contempt or not with Parliament has to be read with the Act, that is the Powers, Privileges and Immunities of Parliament and Provincial Legislatures Act, together with the provisions of these rules. And of course, the facts of any particular case then inform the application of the rules that are present. So Section 13 of the Act describes conduct that constitutes contempt. And one of the things that are specified there is that if a member willfully fails or refuses to obey any rule, order, or resolution of a House, then that is contempt. And here, we have to then talk about what is the conduct that we say the members engaged in to disobey a rule. What is the rule and what is the conduct? The joint rules do not provide, as do the NA rules, that a member may not rise on a point of order that has already been deliberated on. The joint rules do not, as do the NA rules, and I think the practice in Parliament states specifically that the ruling of the presiding officer is final, and that is that. I think that is the practice, though, but that's not specified. So for the purposes of contempt, because contempt has an intention to it, if we're going to say you're in contempt of Parliament because you failed to obey a rule, then we must make reference to that rule. And for the purposes of the joint rules and this sitting, the rule really can only be 14G, because it is 14G in the absence of explicit specification, as do the NA rules do, which then allows a presiding officer to form an opinion that a member is deliberately contravening a provision of the rules. Again, we must find the rule in the joint rules that a member is deliberately contravening. It's 14G that allows the presiding officer to form an opinion that a member is in contempt or is disregarding the authority of the chair, or that a member's conduct is grossly disorderly. Again, the NA rules have a similar provision, and the NA rules then specify, I think it's Rule 69, what exactly gross disorderly conduct is. But that's not provided for here. And then it is there that certain steps are then, that the presiding officers are empowered to take certain steps, and that is to order the withdrawal of a member. So whatever conduct it is we're dealing with, the contempt has to be located within the applicable rules. Now, Section 7 of the Act says a person may not improperly interfere with or impede the exercise or performance by Parliament or a House or Committee of its authority or functions. Before we get there, that a person is improperly interfering, we again have to go back to the rules and the facts. Because the rules empower the presiding officers to manage or prevent such improper interference. And did the presiding officers exercise the tools that the rules gave them to prevent such improper interference? And that is where we are on these facts. And in my view, the presiding officers decided to take a more lenient approach. And the speaker did say that at the end, that they had decided to take a very patient and more lenient approach. And it's not for me to say whether or not that was correct. But all I can say now is that the tools, they chose 4F. They didn't choose 4G in circumstances where 4G could have been invoked much earlier in the proceedings if they were of the opinion that any of the matters set out in 4G are in fact happening. And it would appear to me that they were of their opinion, but they didn't invoke 4G. So to answer Honourable Member Hussain, the contemptuous behaviour, because contempt has an intention to it, we have to find our way back to the rules that applied to a particular sitting in order to get to that conclusion. And for in 14F, 14G, in the main, for 14H doesn't arise because they didn't ask the members to leave. 14H arises where a presiding officer is of the opinion that asking a member, the contravention is of so serious a nature that asking them to leave is not enough. We didn't get there. But that was something else that could have been available to them had the circumstances played out in that way. So my conclusion is that a finding of contempt has to begin with the applicable rules on any facts that we are presented with. And those are the limitations within which we must operate.
Okay, thank you very much, Advocate Mayosi. Anybody from Parliamentary Legal Services? Mr. Jenkins?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Chair, members, and Mayosi and other officials here, Chair. The question, as I understand it, Chair, is this should or should not have been referred. Chair, I'm not 100% sure if there was a collective decision to refer it, but the matter to refer it is a decision taken by the Speaker, of course, and the Chairperson after consultation. But the fact is that this committee must consider something that's being referred to it. The power to do so is not only in the rule, there's also in Section 12 of the Act, which says that the House must establish a committee to inquire into any matter or act that falls within the ambit of contempt. This is what is happening here. The committee can report back to say, we have looked at it, and this matter that's been referred doesn't fit within the ambit or the ambit of what is contempt, and therefore should go further, or the committee can recommend, or then proceed with the inquiry. But certainly the inquiry must happen, and as the legal opinion, the outside legal opinion status, which we discussed a few weeks ago, the committee is obliged to follow that procedure. The committee can't just, without inquiring into the matter, report back to say that they're not going to consider the matter, Chair. So I think the procedure as we're doing it now is in accordance with both the Act and the rules. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. I think the questions have been clarified.
Sorry, Chair.
Is there a clarity seeking question?
Yes, please, Chair.
Okay.
No. That's not the question that was raised. I think the most substantial point that has to be responded to, Chairperson, is not whether we have to deal with the referrals or not. It's the form of the referral. So if we could find a common ground by being clarified by the legal representatives of Parliament, on the form of the referral, that it is not our place to fish for who is breaking the rules. We are supposed to get a referral that says, so-and-so has broken rule like this. Then liberate it indeed, that is the case. That's the clarity I think we must get so that we have a common ground, not just for this case in particular, Chair, but even for the future. And we know that a referral has to be in a specific form, otherwise it's unworkable, and it makes us fall into all forms of prejudices. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. You know, Honorable Josie, I wouldn't like to put the officials on the spot to speak on behalf of the speaker. I think what the legal services officials can help us with is to interpret the law, to interpret the act. But the act of referral is done by the speaker. And it is the speaker who has referred the matter to us. And we must deal with it as a committee and report back to the speaker and ultimately to the House. And so, I am not sure whether the officials here will be properly placed to pronounce on the actions that has been taken by the speaker. So maybe let's flag that issue that you are raising as a matter that requires clarification going forward as to whether should the speaker refer a person, name a person or a member to us, or refer an incident and ask us to investigate and to establish and identify who are the members involved. So I would want to make that ruling, Honorable Members, that let's leave that, let's not place the staff of Parliament in a very difficult position where they would have to comment on the actions of their principal in this committee. The second point I think that I would want to make as we close the matter is that it is quite clear that based on the comments expressed, the advice received, that this committee does not have a reasonable prospect of succeeding in bringing charges against the members referred to us. There has been a deficiency that has been identified in the joint rules of Parliament, especially as it relates to repetition in terms of the point of orders, that the rules, the joint rules are that deficiency has to be remedied, has to be corrected. In making it very clear, like in the rules of the National Assembly, that a point of order that has been raised and been dealt with, if a member continues to raise that point of order again, that member will be contravening the rules. It's quite specific in the rules of the National Assembly, and in the rules of the joint sitting, it is not very clear, and therefore it might have been an issue that made the presiding officers to tread carefully on the day in question. And I think we sort of made a similar observation that the presiding officers chose to be lenient on the day and not to utilize to the fullest the instruments that were available to the presiding officer by utilizing 14G, which was going to be much more emphatic in dealing with the situation that we've been observing. And so as a result of that, it's going to be difficult going forward to deal with this matter. And therefore, we will make our report to the speaker, raising all these issues and indicating what has been the determination of this committee that we will not be able to proceed, unfortunately, with this matter, given all the reasons that have been raised here. The issue of Honorable Sondi, again, we will not be able to proceed with it on the basis that it's not very clear whether after the speaker ordered Honorable Sondi to leave the house, and then a subsequent order raised by Honorable Malema to the speaker, so the speaker did not pursue that matter any further. So we're not sure whether the speaker had reconsidered her ruling, or she was still firm on that ruling. So it's not very clear when you look at the video, and therefore it's going to be a bit difficult to pursue that matter. Because if 14G has been invoked to say the member must leave the house, if the member refuses to leave the house, the member must be assisted by the protection services. And so if that rule has not been invoked to its logical conclusion, and especially given that there was an interjection or a point of order raised on that ruling, and we're not very sure whether there was a reconsideration of that or not, and therefore it becomes difficult to proceed with the matter. There is an incident of a person who was throwing a bottle, a water bottle, as the members were leaving the house. From what Advocate Mayosi is saying, she was not very clear who that member is. I also tried to look. I was not very clear. We didn't do a slow motion sort of a picture here to see who exactly was throwing that bottle. But throwing an object inside the house definitely is against the rules. And I think that member must be identified, and we need to know who that member is, and that's the member who has to explain himself why that member threw the bottle. Because that definitely is not in line with the rules. No matter how that member was provoked, anybody is not allowed to throw objects inside the house. So we will then request the
that is helping us with the videos to identify that member, and brought that to our attention, and then that to take it, that member would have to answer for that. I don't know whether he's a member of the National Assembly or a member of the NCOP, because if that member is a member of the NCOP, therefore, the committee in the NCOP has got jurisdiction. If he's a member of the National Assembly, therefore, this committee will have jurisdiction. So that is how we conclude this matter, honorable members. And I would like to thank you very much, because there is no any other item other than this one. I would like to thank you very much for coming, for your deliberations. This is how the matter will be concluded. We'll then write a report after this, and the committee will look at that report, adopt the report, and it is the report that will then have to send it to the speaker. I don't know how soon that is going to be adoption of the report, but we have got the secretariat that is helping us. So from today we'll then finalize the report. So on the 24th we are going to meet, we'll probably meet for the whole of that week. As I said, based on this correspondence. But we have determined that we are going to meet of that, and we will be expected to meet physically in Cape Town from 10 o'clock on the 24th. Otherwise, thank you very much, honorable members. Have a good weekend. We'll meet again on the 24th. There's nothing, Namshan. That's the only, the last item that we had.
Yes, Chair, there is no other item on the agenda.
All right, that's fine. Thank you very much, Honorable Member. This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, colleagues. Thank you, Chair.
Siyabonga, Chair.